Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host Shannon Holiday and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to yet again another season of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host once again, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined in the studio with the wonderful Letitia Thomas. How are we doing today, Tish?
We are good. We're a little bit sleepy.
We are a little bit sleepy.
You more than me.
Well,
I can't complain.
Yeah, I made the stupid mistake of staying up till 3 a.m. last night to watch the first race back of the F1 season. It took place in a Bahrain over in, you know, the Saudi Arabia region. And yeah, it didn't take place till 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. So
woo.
Very, very tired, but we're back.
We are back. It's exciting.
It's very exciting. How did you feel about having a little bit of a break?
I think it was good.
Yes.
And then I got to a point where I was like, what am I doing with my life? So
that's how I felt, because we obviously had a conversation in the past couple of weeks, probably about a month ago, where it's like, we need to get back into the podcast. We need to get that back on track. And I was like, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, I want to do something constructive again. Like we wanted to have a break because we're definitely getting to a point where we're like, we need to have some type of stoppage to this.
Yeah, and like this isn't sustainable.
Not at all. And I'm glad we had that conversation where it's like going to be a seasonal kind of thing. It's not just going to run every week for perpetual. I'm glad that we had this little break over the kind of summer season in Australia. But I really wanted to get back into it. Like I loved doing it with you. It was a lot of fun. It was more popular than we expected. The first season of this podcast, I didn't expect to get nearly as much people listening to us that we did. And like you said, just before when we're off air, the amount of people that kind of recognize us in the kind of sphere of people that we have, and you're like, I don't know you, but you know who I am. It's very weird, right?
Yeah, a lot of people that Shannon knew through work who I've never met. Yeah, like we'll just connect through like the job that Shannon and I both used to have.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, are you from the podcast? And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Hi. Then I never know what to say because it's weird.
Yeah. Like quasi-fame is weird.
Yeah, it's just being known by people that you don't know.
And then you forget about what you've said on the podcast
that's
as well.
The scary it's like, thing.
What have I said? What do they know?
I'm so honest because I know you and we've been friends for years. And
so we just talk like we know each other.
So we just say things and then, you know, someone will be like, oh, I listened to that. And I'm like, oh my God, you know my secret shame. Like I have to, you know, Shannon's like, oh, include this. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want everyone to know me quite that well just yet.
We're going to ease into it, I think, this year.
It's just funny.
But out of season two, I think you're going to learn a lot more about us because as we had a discussion about a month ago coming into season two, we know that the episode designs had to kind of change a bit because it wasn't sustainable what we were doing. Like reactive episodes each week was not working for us.
No.
Like,
so
cool, what topic we're going to do next week? Oh, we'll just pick that director. Like, that's a great one. And then we'd have to watch like 12 films between us, if not more.
Yeah.
For example, in that week. And then not only that, the editing turnaround time. I had less than 24 hours to edit and post an episode. It was just a lot. And
it's a big skill to learn while you're also learning how to do podcasting and editing.
I think we threw ourselves in pretty quickly though and pretty well.
We definitely did. So yeah, we are recording at this point about a month in advance just so we can get a backlog. So if we're sick or whatever, you don't have to hear
we'll
us
just
being
have a break or
incredibly sick on air.
Yeah.
So if stuff's not working by the time this goes out, make sure you get in touch with us and let us know if you prefer some other things and we'll see what we can do to make it the best it can be for you guys at home listening, as well as still being sustainable for us. We just really want to hone it this year, I think, and get a bit more personal with it. Sorry, we won't be doing trivia every week. There's not that many questions, believe it or not.
I think we've nearly asked everything humanly possible in movie trivia, and that was very evident when we went to the Actor Awards. We'll go into that in a little bit more detail a bit later, I think, but there was a situation at the Actor Awards where we had a bit of downtime and we're asking each other, what do we want to do? There's movie or trivia happening, you know, at 12:30. We're not seeing anything for a little while. And I said, yes, I want to absolutely show up these small children at movie trivia.
And let me tell you guys, Shannon did. It was me and then a mutual friend of ours and Shannon in a group. And we let Shannon take the reins.
Yeah, I held the remote and
all the power.
Yeah, it went to my head. most of the time we were supposed to consult with our team and I had already answered it by the time like the question was done, read out, essentially. And you're like, what's happening?
But anyway, so it was, oh man, guys, it was so funny. It was like the dingiest back room. This guy has only done trivia in the last 20 years of his life. So it is his personality. Mm. He's not that good at it though.
That's unfortunate for him. It was.
It's stuff that he normally does at like pubs and things. Like you can hire him and his service. And he was plugging the business incredibly.
It was like in between every second question.
He was not great at it. And then at the very end, so you've got all these trivia questions. We're in the lead. Shannon's very excited. And then it's like, oh, but it doesn't matter if you know trivia or not, because we're going to do this sort of
horse race pseudo thing.
Horse race thing where you pick, it was all gambling. I don't understand math. anyway, we pick it. We end up somehow winning the horse race as well. So we are leagues
ahead.
Ahead. And he turns to this small child in the front row. We're at the very back, mind you. And starts congratulating this kid on his win. And this kid's like just awkwardly like, how do I say that it's not me? And he's trying to be like shaking his head. Like,
I think he said, no, that's not our team. And then he just ignored the kid.
Yeah, this guy doubled down and he's like, congratulations on winning the trivia, blah, blah, if you want to hire me. And we're in the back row just pissing ourselves laughing.
It was hilarious.
So confused. And then, yeah, he sent us on our way and we went to do these like
other actual things,
proper events. But it was just this bizarre blip in time.
It was amazing. And I'm glad we got that story out of the actors because it's so unbelievable that we went through that situation. It was a lot of fun.
It was just weird. But anyway, that was the trivia. But back to the point, we're going to change up the structure a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, what have you been up to in the meantime? We haven't seen each other as much as we should have.
So obviously we met up nearly every week for the podcast. We had a bit of time off over the summer break. I actually got a chance to have a break because of my new job breaks over the Christmas period, whereas previous job didn't. You know, you just work straight through, as you would know.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to spend some time with my family who lived down in northern New South Wales on the coastline there on the beach. It was really good to, you know, spend some time there in the sun and actually relax for Christmas. I haven't been able to do that for like 8 years. So it was really good to, spend some time away from working and have some me time, spend some time watching a lot of films, but I didn't feel like there was any kind of crunch to watch them, which was really satisfying during these past couple of months. And we'll go through some things that we obviously watched in the past couple of months that really stuck out to us. Other than that, it's just been a lot of, relaxing, spending time with friends and, getting ready for this now that we're back up. And I think that's the part that I was missing was like there's some creative part of me that's itching to get back into it. And, when we both obviously had that sit-down coffee and we're like, let's plan everything for the year, which is what we did. We kind of went, all right, we need to structurally plan everything. So we've even got like basically a blueprint of every single episode topic for the entire year we're going to talk about. Yes, things will change and shift a slight amount, but for the most part, probably I'd say 80% of it's locked in. And that feels great.
Oh my God. As a Virgo, I'm like, oh thank God. Like great. We stopped recording and we had Christmas and all of that. And I don't think I've stopped thinking about the podcast since.
No, neither. Like, it's always in the back of my mind.
The major workaholic, even if I'm not working, it's like always there. And I was like, I need a plan. We need to change this stuff up. But I was like, no, we're having a break. So I was like, I won't annoy Shannon with everything we need to get done. So that meeting was like, it was good for me.
It was good for me too. Trust me. Like, although I've got a little bit of a chaotic personality, it's not full chaotic. So a part of me was stressed with last year. Even though I was like, just go with it. Just go with it.
You're like,
it's going
cool,
fine.
And I'm like,
no, I was definitely panicking. So this actually is really good. It's really awesome that we've got a plan. Should we go through some films that we did kind of watch in the past couple of months? Because there's one in particular I know we've both watched It's kind of topical. It was very topical over the Christmas period.
Oh, I know the one.
You know the one.
And it's been everywhere.
It's been everywhere. A lot of people have watched it for a couple of particular scenes, but I don't think it should take away from how good this film actually probably is.
And the film we're talking about is Emerald Fennell's Saltburn.
My parents, they've got problems.
What kind of? What do you mean problems?
I don't think I'll ever go home again.
Well, why don't you come home with me? Come to Saltburn.
So everyone, it would have been on Amazon. Everyone would have checked it out on Amazon Prime. It came around, I think it came out around Boxing Day, or it was around that time period, the week before or something. Saltburn, thoughts, straight off the bat, thoughts. Okay,
before we start, we're getting cancelled. No, no, but you've all seen it. Yes. Io got cancelled. Bowen Yang got cancelled. Yes. Tina Fey went on a big rant about it. Here's the thing, and I've always struggled to watch films with Jacob Elordi in it. I know he's everyone's heartthrob. I know everyone.
Is it because you went to the same uni as him?
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. I went to QUT around the same time that he was in QUT. He's a year ahead of me because I didn't go straight into uni after school. I took a year off. And there was this guy, didn't know his name. He was this like myth around my uni because when we were in second year, he was about to be in his final year and he'd quit the acting course, which is super prestigious. They have like 10 to 12 kids each cohort that get to do it. If you're not good enough, you go do drama. They have no time off. They couldn't act in our student films. Like, they were there all day, every day, this strict thing. And he decided he was going to quit and go off to Hollywood. And he got told, please make it in Hollywood because you're not coming back. And at the time, he hadn't quite made it in Hollywood. So it was just this myth. And then, you know, slowly he started showing up in like kissing booths and whatnot.
That was his first.
And then he like, you know, everyone knows his trajectory. He's just, he's got bigger and bigger and bigger. But to me, he's always this pretentious kid in the acting degree that went to a private school in Brisbane. So.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, yeah.
That checks out.
And maybe he's not. And
now he's doing Saltburn, Priscilla,
to me,
and
like,
all those other
that
things.
Is the image I had of this guy. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just very strange. I enjoyed the film. It wasn't the craziest film. Like, so many people that I know that don't watch like a lot of films will see this one
viewers,
and are like, oh my God, it's blowing my mind. And I'm like, yeah, look, I've definitely seen weirder stuff. That being said, I appreciate the vision Emerald Fennell had. I'm not the biggest fan of her films. Like, I've seen Promising Young Woman.
Yeah, that's where I agree with you.
Like, she's not my favorite, but I don't want that to take away from the fact that she clearly made a solid film. Mm. Yeah, I love that she did it in like the 2000s when she was doing it. I love the yellow Live Strong bracelet she put in. I love the eyebrow piercing that the studio didn't want her to have in it.
Oh yeah, that he had.
That he has. Yeah,
it was very era appropriate. Mm-hmm. I think for me the nostalgia kick of the 2000s because obviously I'm an older man, you know, old man. So I grew up in the same period that these people would be in the same age.
Yeah.
So for me it was a huge nostalgia kick, but I definitely agree with you in terms of how you felt about the film. Her films, I'm the same. I didn't love Promising Young Woman. I'm not going to go into details the why. I just felt like it was a little bit pandering. It was a little bit forceful. And that's about it for it. But in terms of Saltburn, I liked it a lot better. I enjoyed it. I thought the cast was pretty good. I think casting Barry, probably one of his better roles suited for him because he plays that kind of like neurotic, kind of awkward boy. That's what he plays, right? In most things he does.
Yeah.
If you think about all the other films that he's kind of been in lately, random aside, I don't think he should play Joker. That's just for me in the Batman too. Anyway, moving on. So I think he was appropriately cast. I think same thing about Promising Young Woman is this. I think the whole messaging of his character's trajectory was a bit iffy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, what's his intention? Like, what's his motivation? Because it kind of came out as if he's a bit of a sociopath, psychopath. And I don't think the character was that or should have been that. So it was a bit of mixed messaging. But I think in terms of filmmaking, it was good. It was great. I thought it kept me entertained for the 2.5 hours that it runs for.
No, I agree. I think there was that thing where his motivation wasn't super clear throughout the whole thing. And then obviously, like, you know, like Tina Fey said in that thing, there's a, you know, sexual turn in Act 3 that seemingly comes out of nowhere and everything like that. I don't think, it was the strongest. I do think regardless on a first watch, it was still satisfying in that sense of like you were entertained.
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. I'd probably have to watch it again to kind of like see the small cracks in maybe the personality mm-hmm. to lead to where it ended up.
Yep.
But I just don't think it was very clear and therefore it wasn't the perfect film.
It could have, yeah.
Yeah. Saying that, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it succeeded where she wanted it to succeed in terms yep. of style and feeling very like she was like on Tumblr in that era. And I'm like, yeah, you can tell.
You can tell.
And I think some of the characters were super fun. I loved Rosamund Pike in it.
Oh,
and,
she was great. She was great. As like the rich white woman mum.
Harry Mulligan that's in it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? Yeah.
Only a couple of scenes,
But yeah. just it was done very, very well.
Yeah.
Not my favorite film, obviously, but I think it was interesting to see a film that was quite stylized become super, super hyped at a time when, you know, people don't usually watch that kind of cinema. So I think that was nice to give these people that aren't, you know, major film buffs a window into some of the weird films that are out
there.
It was
great because this film became a viral sensation.
Of course.
It did because of a couple of reasons, but it did. It would have been everywhere on TikTok. Don't have TikTok, but I assume.
It definitely was.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Like, to get a wider audience to something that is kind of indie, kind of niche, kind of not your mainstream type of movie, it was great. It was great to see that reaction, to be honest. I'm like, yeah, we've been dealing with this for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. Any other kind of films that you can think of that you've watched in the past couple of months? I've got a couple, so I can.
I've been.
Just want to mention anyway.
Admittedly, like, super slack. Like,
any TV shows?
Yeah. We watched the Emmys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I watched two episodes of Succession at Shannon's.
That's right.
And yeah. I finished it in about 2 weeks. I did nothing else. I thought of nothing else. I'm still thinking about it. I haven't, you know, when you get deep into something and then it ends and then you're a bit lost in time.
You just mentioned it.
That's me right now. I'm so lost right now.
Lost.
I don't know what to do. I don't have any direction. Now I've got a podcast, so I'm back on.
Love
I've
that we
been trying
we
to write a lot, but yeah.
We watched the Emmys and we've obviously watched a few awards season ceremonies the past couple of years and the show keeps coming up, right? Like it's like, oh, Succession's won this, Succession's won that, and like, oh my god, Succession again. And you just keep hearing that theme song over and over again when someone walks up.
Yeah.
And we're like, do we just want to watch? We gotta see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
We've got to see what this is about. And we finished watching Emmys and we had a bit more time. So you stayed here and we watched a couple of episodes.
We watched the first two.
First two episodes. And we were immediately hooked. That pilot episode and the one afterwards in the hospital, so funny and so unique is what I'd say for a TV show. Because it's like a family drama, it's like a political drama, it's like a power play thing, but it's also got comedy. I can't say
a lot because Shannon hasn't finished it, but no. I went in deep. Like I read scripts, I watched interviews, like. It was that for 2 weeks.
The acting is fantastic.
And I wanted to watch this show since it, like, before it even came out. And they were like, I remember I was working, I think, at Indrapilli. And, in that shopping center, they always have the big poster boards with films and TV shows that are coming out. And, like, just, I don't know, it's weird in that place. I remember seeing, like, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as a kid. And then I remember seeing Succession. And I was like, these are things that are huge and I want to watch them. I think because Sarah Snook was in it. And I was like, she's Australian and that's cool that, like, Australians in this big HBO show. So I wanted to watch it for years. At the time, Foxtel was like very expensive. Well, look, I was a broke uni student, so it was very expensive. Yeah.
So it was just on Foxtel.
And then I think it was just one of those things that I'd wanted to watch for so long and then didn't. And then I watched it and just, oh my God, if you haven't seen it, guys.
Check it.
Definitely check it. It is a Shakespearean tragedy. It's beautiful. It's just,
a family tragedy and every character is unique.
They
stand out on their own.
There is some funny stuff
Kieran
that you
Culkin
seen.
Is so funny. Oh even God. In the only couple of episodes I've seen, it's great. It's great. It's worth checking out. It's all said and done now. This is why we kind of, well, it's not why we waited, but we definitely went, oh, it's all done. Let's start it. Mm-hmm. We've got an end place to get to.
Yeah, so make sure you've got a couple of weeks set aside if you get in as deep as I did.
If you get addicted to it, yeah.
Oh my God.
Fantastic. Yeah. I've got a couple of films that I definitely watched over the break just because I wanted to see them and I got a chance to. So a couple of these were from BIFF. mm-hmm. the Brisbane International Film Festival that we went to and saw Combat Wombat 2.
Which is out in cinemas at the moment.
Finally, that's why I wanted to plug it.
Maybe might be by the time you guys listen to this.
It will still be in cinemas, I
assume. Go see it. It's amazing. See it.
It's a lot of fun. You're supporting Australian animation.
And they're my friends, so go see it.
Yeah. That aside, there was a few films that I wanted to see during BIFF that I just didn't get to because we were pretty busy working and there was different times and stuff. It didn't get to that.
We didn't pre-plan it, basically.
No. One of the movies I ended up seeing in our break was All of Us Strangers.
That's your mom and dad?
Yeah. They died just before I was 12. I'm trying to write about them at the moment.
How's it going?
Strangely. Hi.
Hi. Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Is it? I think it's Amazon now. Anyway,
I think you can rent it on Amazon potentially, or it is coming to streaming very soon. Yeah, it's based on a novel from 1987 called Strangers. It's a Japanese novel, and it is just this one of the saddest movies I've ever seen, but like beautiful at the same time. So it's about these two guys that live in this basically it's a London apartment complex, and no one really lives in it. So they're one of two people that live in this whole complex. They meet one night and they kind of slowly hit it off and end up becoming kind of what a couple is based on proximity, who they are and stuff like that. At the same time, one of the main characters who's played by Andrew Scott, who you kind of follow as the narrator kind of person.
If anyone doesn't know, that's the hot priest from Fleabag.
Right. Okay. I haven't watched Fleabag.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Phenomenal actor. Oh, my God. This was amazing. Anyway, at the same time, he goes he goes to see where his parents lived. There's a whole backstory of how they died in a car crash when he was about 11, 12. So quite young. And when he goes back just to visit the house, he goes to the door and they open the door and they're living in the house the same look and age they were when they died.
Oh.
And what this film does is he starts talking to them as an adult now, and it bridges that gap in terms of like what closure he would have gotten and the childhood trauma that he gets to address at the same time as building a relationship up with this other guy in the apartment building. And the whole, you know, like addressing like, you know, early 80s being homosexual, the trauma of the parents dying.
Oh, no.
And yeah, it's just a journey, and it is like just really sad, but really poetic, really beautiful. Check it out.
Not only is it a sad gay film because it's the 80s, it's like a, oh man, closure of Jesus. Yeah, I need to watch this film.
Yeah, it's got a lot of family trauma, beautifully acted. So you've got Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal is the other gentleman in the apartment building. Mm-hmm. So Paul Mescal, if you're not sure, was in After Sun as the dad. Fantastic movie as well. Definitely check that out. Jamie Bell and Claire Foy play the parents.
Oh, cool.
So they're fantastic actors. So, yeah, check this one out. It was a huge standout for me in terms of the films that I kind of watched over the break.
I need to check that one out. Yeah, I've been all over the place lately. I started reading Clara and the Sun, which is a film that Taika Waititi's developing at the moment. They've just started casting it, so I'm keen to finish that and everything like that. But the last film I went to see, or even just saw, was I saw Poor Things this week.
I am Bella Baxter. I'm a flawed, experimenting person. I seek outings and adventures. Bella's so much to discover.
You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
I am finding being alive fascinating.
Bella.
Why I keep it in my mouth if it is revolting? I must go punch that baby.
Yes, I want to very talk to you late. About that.
I know, I'm sorry, everyone.
We've both
it's
seen
been a
it.
Whirlwind. I went to see it. I was the only one in the theater by myself, so I had a perfect experience.
You went to
no one was talking.
Which cinema did you go to?
I went to the El Dorado in Indooroopilly, which feels like a classic. If you imagine like a cinema in the 80s, like neon lights, red seats.
Just everything, the aesthetic old is posters. That like old-timey kind of cinema complex.
Oh, I fell in love.
Yeah, it's one of a kind, still left, and you get that perfect cinema experience from going to this place. I've been a couple of times myself. It's really cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I've been once before, which it was a weird experience. Yeah, I'll get into that with you later. Yeah. But yeah, it was very strange.
What did you think first and foremost when you saw it?
I love this film. I desperately need to see it again. I am a big fan of that old sort of fractured fairy tale Frankenstein-esque
monster horror. But in a gothic sense.
Yeah, and you got this like gothic horror, which is so cool. Like I'm a fan of the book, like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and her writing, like that whole genre that she did, just big fan. But this film was, I loved it. It's so stylized, but it's not stylized in a way that's like without substance.
No, exactly right, yeah.
It makes sense that everything's a little bit whimsical and fantastical and not quite in this reality, but it's still grounded enough in its own reality. Yeah,
it's definitely like – it plays out like a fantasy tale, but only just enough so that the story works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's enough that keeps it all grounded. I think that Emma Stone. I was so confident and then I doubted myself.
If you're not sure who Emma Stone is, Superbad. What's the other? Easy A.
La La Land.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of things.
Yeah.
I think her performance was incredible. And we were talking about this just the other day. Her character is one that goes through quite a journey throughout the film in terms of like growing up as well, because she is sort of a Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. That's not a spoiler. I'm not going to get into it, but
yeah, we won't go down that rabbit hole.
That's obviously what it is. But yeah, she sort of has this journey where she's growing up in the world. And I think her ability to play that, because obviously they don't shoot films chronologically, but her ability to know where her character was at in each scene in her development was phenomenal.
That's the part that knocked me away. And I was like, yes, she does deserve probably the Best Actress award.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
There's a few others that I'll mention later, but, I would be not surprised if she won it because where her character goes on this journey throughout this film, it's so subtle at times, the changes that it takes for her to showcase where it's like, oh, she's developing, like she's learning more, she's experiencing more life. So therefore she's at the next stage. It's just beautiful to watch her act that out on screen and knowing full well, like you said, how movies are made out of chronological order. It was just, it was one of the best, most standout performances I've seen in a little while.
It feels seamless. And also often when films have characters that are growing up throughout the film, it'll miss time, it'll skip time. This doesn't exactly skip time. It's all in real time of you watching it for the most part, except I think towards the end they maybe jump a little.
But it's not obvious that it's like a time jump. It's still developing. At that point
she's sort of developed quite a lot. Yeah. But that was stellar. I think the way they shoot it, where the first so much is black and white and then it jumps to color, was really cool. And I like the fisheye lens that they had in that.
And also it was not a letterbox presentation. It was like the square looking film type. I forget what the dimensions are.
4x3 I'm not a cinematographer. No one comes from
me. 16x9 It was 4x3
Yeah. And just it was stylized in a very intentional way.
Yeah.
And I thought that worked really well.
It felt like, you know how you watch those silent movies where it's like something happens and it's like out of time in terms of like the actual flow of, and then it'll have like a box of like letter saying something coming up. When it was doing the first part of the film in black and white, that's exactly how I felt watching that. And I'm like, well, that's what it's trying to portray, like an early timey
silent film.
And then I felt like as she grew up and experienced a few things, that's when the style of cinematography changed along with her as well. Because then when you get to the end of the film, without, not getting into spoiler territory, it became quite clear and it even felt like even the cinematography felt like a today's standard film. Didn't change aspect.
There's like less grain and...
That's how I felt on it too. So I was like, that's incredible just to begin with as well. Yeah. Like the production of this was incredible.
Once she's sort of coming to the end of her hero's journey and then has a clarity of who she is within her world.
Yeah.
It becomes very clear and clean. Right. And I just think it's a masterclass in storytelling and visual storytelling as well. And I think like I've seen not a lot of his other films, I remember seeing The Favourite in cinema and I loved it up until the last 2 seconds, and then it felt very much like I'd gone to school with like wanky film students at the end, but the last
didn't
sort of
have
scene.
That payoff that you were hoping
for. No, and maybe that was just me coming out of that environment and just being so done with it. So I do want to rewatch The Favourite and get to like The Lobster. And
I've seen A Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Haven't.
It was very good. It was I would say not on the same like level as this is in terms of everything, but it's definitely like it's an absurdist psychological horror thriller. But it's more about like, it's not like when you're horror, like, oh no, Friday the 13th, someone's coming after me. It's a mental horror, especially for the main character of that Colin Farrell plays. It's some of the decisions he has to make towards the end of the film. This also, I'm pretty sure, has Barry Keoghan in it, and he plays a pretty unhinged teenager. So it's worth checking out.
Yeah, and I think as well, for me, I've seen a lot more sort of surrealist films. I watched a lot of Fellini and stuff since. Yeah. So I'm more appreciative, I guess, of that type of filmmaking, where when I just got out of uni.
Weren't quite ready for that kind of.
It's one of those things. I think you can study a film and, yeah, you should have seen everything, but the reality is most of us haven't. And I think now as well, almost the landscape as a filmmaker has changed, where a lot of younger people are coming in and going, no, we don't need to watch all these old films that everyone tells us we should watch, which, yes, I understand, but also I think, depending on what stuff you want to make, you should definitely go back.
I think it depends on what you want to make. I think if you're expecting to make a certain style of film where it's going to be, eventually going to be award-winning, you know, Academy Awards or like indie or something like that, or a particular story, I think you need to see what came before it, understand it, appreciate it, see what kind of reaction people had to it, and obviously for that time and place it had that reaction, then go into seeing if you still want to make the same movie.
Yeah, I think a good example of that on the main screen was Barbie recently.
Yeah.
So many references to old Hollywood, but done in a way that modern audiences can come towards it. Yeah.
Yeah, can understand and appreciate it. Yeah, I exactly agree with you. I think a lot of people that kind of go out there, not a lot of people, but some people that go through, you know, movie school and then go, well, I'm amazing, I can make this thing. But like they haven't really gone out of their way to kind of see what came before them, because they kind of get that kind of narrow tunnel vision of what they want.
And it's hard. And getting told as well, like, you should have seen this, but being like, none of this was in the curriculum. Yeah. It's hard to have time to even know what you want to go back and watch. Like, it's not as maybe simple as that. But I think watching a lot of films definitely develops your taste in cinema that you kind of don't know that you have.
Yeah, I just think it's like eating the same thing for, for dinner every night for, you know, a year. I mean, yeah, you like it. It's enjoyable. But if you don't try other things, you don't know how versatile your taste buds can be.
There you go.
There you go.
A nice metaphor.
I just made that up on the spot. That was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Moving on. I was going to talk about some films I didn't like when I saw.
Okay.
Because I watched a few films. Yeah, probably like close to like probably 50 films since we break.
I know. I think I've watched like 10. I know. I've been real bad.
I've been really like, I'm like down that thing where it's like, I can watch whatever I want, whenever I want, you know, kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So I've just been watching, I've been consuming, which means I've been taking in some not less than stellar films as well at the same time. So one in particular I would do want to talk to the audience about is a recent release into cinemas in the Sony Spider-Man universe. The movie's called Madam Web.
Oh no.
I don't understand what's happening.
I've been having visions.
I knew he was gonna die.
I think I'm seeing the future.
Now, this film, unfortunately, like, I still went in with, like, pretty low expectations. I was like, okay, it's another superhero film. I'm pretty fatigued on superhero films, but, you know, I knew it had Adam Scott in it from Parks and Recreation. I just wanted to see, you know, how it all played out. One of the worst editing productions of a movie I've ever seen in my life. The script could have been written by AI. Actually, that's a disservice to AI. I just honestly reckon the script was one of the worst scripts I've ever read. Please find it if you get a chance to find the script for Madam Web. And the acting was, I'm not going to say the acting was like the worst part, but I just don't think the actresses, the four main actresses, got a real chance to kind of flesh out any characterization of their characters based on the script. I just think Dakota Johnson didn't get really much time to flesh out her character of the main Madame Web character too much. And the other three actresses who play the young Spider-Women, like, because it's basically a prequel to when they're before they become Spider-Women, is just, it's, yeah, they're two-dimensional. And it's unfortunate. But the biggest part that took me out of it was the editing. There's a scene at the start where she, because she's a paramedic, normal everyday paramedic, alongside Adam Scott's character of Ben Parker, who's the uncle of Spider-Man. They're driving an ambulance. And I think there's probably like, I'd say close to 10 quick cut shots, different shots of this ambulance just driving down a road. Like cut, 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 cut. And it's just different angles of this paramedic, like ambulance just driving. And I'm like, this isn't even an action scene. It's just a car. Like, and that played out for the entire film. Like it was just jarring to watch. It was like so off-putting. And then you've got on top of it the script issues, mm-hmm, and everything else. It was just a mess of a movie. I can't even say if Sony got its hands on it, and which is the reason why. I just think it was poorly made. This is a poorly made film. Unfortunate, but it exists in the world now. So if you want to see a movie that's really bad and just some really bad lines that get put out there, really memed-like lines, check it out.
What a win for feminism.
Look, it is what it is. I ended up seeing also another Sydney Sweeney movie. I saw Anyone But You.
Titanic me.
What?
Titanic me.
Oh my God. This is so cringe.
Lift my arms.
I've seen the movie.
Have you?
Can I do the line? It's king of the world. You're king of the world.
Jack, I'm flying. Oh, it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. Are they doing Titanic? Aww. Are they watching?
Yep.
Are they buying it?
The rom-com that came out on Boxing Day that they've re-released for Valentine's Day. it wasn't terrible. It was very middle of the park. Like, play it safe. The chemistry between her and Glenn Powell, who plays the main, it was pretty good chemistry. Like, they clearly got along off screen, and like they obviously knew their characters well enough. The story just revolved around them too much. It's hard to say. Like, it's based on a Shakespearean play, mm-hmm, and they've kind of just adapted into a modern day just love story. The issue is they're going to someone else's wedding in Australia, right? Both, yep, of them, they know mutual people. They both know them. They're both at the wedding.
Yep.
Everyone doing anything at this wedding is revolving around either them trying to get them back together or get her to get back with her ex-boyfriend or something. Even the people getting married are too involved with these, yeah, two people, right, and it becomes unbelievable at that point. There's some funny lines in it throughout, but I wouldn't say like the whole thing's funny. Brian Brown plays one of the dads of one of the characters, and a little bit of a waste of a good actor, like a really good like Australian actor. He's just in there and he's kind of like clowning around trying to get these two back together. I'm like, this is jarring. Very middle of the park is all I'll say. Very middle of the park.
Yeah, probably like an old like straight to VHS or straight to DVD.
It'll be one of those ones when it goes to Netflix, it'll be like number one, yeah, in watched movies for a while because it's just a comfort
film.
It's an easy film. Yeah. You don't have to take much in. And it's done incredibly well. If you have a look at how much it's made at the box office, it was made on a very low budget, killed it over the summer break, and because it's done so well, that's why they released it as a Valentine's Day special.
Here's the thing, though. Like, we were missing those kind of films in cinemas. Yeah. Ones that are just, like, an easy watch. You don't have to have seen 10 other films before it.
But that's exactly right.
And
everything,
it's not, like you know, going to win an Academy Award, but it's just a fun hour and a half,
yeah,
2 hours. We kind of know what story we're getting. Mm. It's, you know,
it was made
successful
on $25 million. Okay. So think about every other film. Like Indiana Jones wasn't like $500 million or something like that.
I don't
ridiculous.
Even know.
Blockbusters now are just costing too much. So a film to be made on $25 million is incredibly low. And that's, it's made $200 million.
Exactly.
It's made a lot of money and for not much effort to put into
it. A lot of these films, especially the rom-com, where people have missed the rom-com in cinema, because before this one, I think we had, I can't think what it's called, Ticket to Paradise with Julia Roberts and
George Clooney.
We're sort of taking, like, same bringing thing. Back, you know, old school heartthrobs. But it, like, people don't have those movies in the cinemas anymore. They go straight to
streaming. Mostly on demand. Netflix, just pick them up because they're cheap and easy to make.
And then, you know, it's a whole market that you're missing out on, and people just, like,
made a lot of money.
Going to see fun.
Yeah, honestly, and I think obviously the relevance of Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney at the moment has really hooked people in, because obviously she's in, obviously a bunch of different things at the moment. Euphoria, she's in obviously the Madame Web, and she's doing a bunch of other films at the moment as well. Glenn Powell's about to be in Twisters, which is what we'll talk about, what's coming soon.
Yeah, and please do.
And he's in Top Gun. He was in Top Gun.
Oh, of course.
As well. So he's very relevant as well. So they're both A-listers that people go, one minor piece of that. To either of them, you know, right? Yeah, they're very attractive people. So obviously people went and saw it for that as well.
Yeah.
It's an easy film. It's easy. Easy to watch. Yeah. So it was middle of the park. So watch that. I will talk about one or two other films unless you've got something else, but very briefly.
Honestly, not that I can think of. There's a couple that I've seen that are good, but like, honestly, we can talk about them next week. So
yeah, we've got other weeks and topics to go into. The last two I'll talk about is I saw Force of Nature, The Dry 2. I
haven't seen that.
None of you have been honest with me about what happened out there.
Why are you really here?
Nature holds us all to account.
I've been, like, told you, it's very slack.
Have you seen The Dry, though?
I've seen The Dry, yeah.
So The Dry, it's the sequel to that. It's Eric Bana playing the detective, the AFP detective. This time it's set in, I think, Victorian high country, where it's in the rainforest. One of their informants is with a group of people, but she goes missing. He has to come in and try and find her before the other, like, the whole unraveling of her being an informant gets found out.
Is that Anna Torv's character?
Yes.
Love, so Anna Torv.
Anna Torv's in it as well. Anyway, this mystery, it plays out where he obviously has to try and find her before that becomes public, that she was the informant. He's trying to find out stuff about the company that all five of them work for. There's this whole thing with financial situation going on. It's not as strong as The Dry was in terms of the mystery. I still like watching it because I think Eric Bana as this AFP character of Aaron Falk is really captivating, and I'm really into it. It's, yet again, it's another Australian crime mystery that I'm really into at the moment as a theme. So I definitely reckon check it out.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just not as good as The Dry.
That's fair.
Which is, you know, it's fine.
I need to knuckle down. I've got an insane month. I'm trying to write a thing at the moment, or a couple things. So I haven't left myself a lot of time just to go to the cinema on my days off.
No, because I remember you were talking to me for a while about trying to get to see Poor Things.
Yeah, it just...
You were saying it for a couple of weeks. You're like, I've got to go see Poor Things, but I've got XYZ to do in the meantime. I don't know if I've got time for this. And I'm like, yeah, well, fair. Like, obviously see it in the cinema. It's one of those ones you got to see in the cinema. But if you've got, you know, writing to do, like, you're obviously entering that competition as well. So, like, that's important.
It was one of these things where me and my good friend and also, like, a friend of the podcast were trying to catch up. And then, you know, she got different work. And the days in which we had to catch up were
just one not
incredibly limited. So, yeah, in the end, I was like, can I just go see it? But, yeah, and I'm catching up with her after this for a chat, and we're going to do some writing together. So, trying to get back into that as well.
Writer's room.
Yeah.
That's pretty big for a Netflix series, so two of you.
True.
Too soon.
I need to get in the industry, not insult it on air.
Well, they're not going
to
listen, so.
They're not listening to me.
If you don't have anything else, I got one more. I got others, but I think the biggest one I need to mention is I went and saw Dune Part 2 the other day, two nights ago.
You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades.
Luke!
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes, then great houses. Here, we're equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Maybe I'll show you the way.
It's such a generational, once in a decade style movie. I need to talk about it. Like, this and part one together is like one of those, it's a sci-fi
epic
that you just don't get every now and then. What Denis Villeneuve has done on screen with this, obviously, adaptation of the book is second to none. Like, honestly, phenomenal. The sound design, the acting, the scope, the sheer scope of this film is absolutely poetic. Like, I was in awe for the, it goes for about, it's just shy of 3 hours, part two. I think it's 167 minutes, which is, yeah, just shy of.
I think that's shorter than the first.
I think it's about the same.
Okay.
So two parts, 3 hours each, 6 hour for the epic that it is. Honestly, because I watched the first one the night before, just a recap, just to go, cool, we're going, because it is, it's a pure continuation of part one. Where part one ends, part two is just straight
into. That was my main gripe of part one is.
Well, it doesn't really end on any part like that's captivating, right? Like, oh no, someone's, you know, like.
It's like, oh, now the story continues. And I'm like, oh, but no. It doesn't for me. It's 3 years until I see it.
Yeah. So watching part one, then going the next night and watching part two, I was like, this is an epic. It's wild. They introduced a few new characters in this time around. So you've got Florence Pugh as the Emperor's daughter. And she is a part of the, you know, that kind of like secret society of kind of like witches that is also playing a part in the background that kind of, they kind of like change the political kind of dynamic. Like they have their like web of people in every kind of like house or like political team.
I need a rewatch. I saw it when it came out in cinemas.
I would suggest watching part one because it's a dense watch. Mm. It's a dense read, I've heard as well. Like there's a lot of lore there. There's a lot of, it's a very religious book too.
Spice.
Like, yeah, spice is everywhere. You get the blue eyes. So yeah, it's like she plays the Emperor's daughter who's also a part of that group of the Reverend Mothers, I think they're called. Because Paul Atreides' mum is also one of them. And remember, she's training him in the voice.
Yes, this is all ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she plays that. Christopher Walken plays the Emperor.
Amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. But most of it takes place when he, like Paul Atreides, who's played by Timothy Chalamet, is learning the ways of the Fremen, the ones that live in the desert. So you get to see he's kind of like overarching story of him like learning their ways and eventually becoming something. So I won't go into detail if you haven't read the book or seen the movies, but it is phenomenal.
No, I do need to see this one in cinema because these are the films that like the first one I enjoyed but didn't adore.
Yeah.
Not for any reason other than
when you get
me
part one and part two
it feels complete.
It's yeah.
Yeah. But I do want to see this one in cinema because I think it's a waste of time not to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also got, I'm just blanking, who played Elvis in Elvis?
Austin Butler?
Yes. It's got him in it as well.
Yes.
As one of the other Harnikin characters. He plays Dave Bautista's like brother.
Who's Dave Bautista is an insane actor in the sense of like used to be a wrestler.
Yeah, well, it's wild, right? But, like, so was The Rock, so was John Cena.
Yeah, but they play very, like, non-dramatic roles often.
Well, The Rock plays the same thing.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't gonna.
He plays The Rock in a movie. Like, it's this movie featuring The Rock.
But Dave Bautista's able to do dramatic stuff, which is crazy. Stuff a lot better. But anyway.
He was in Blade Runner.
2049. I haven't seen it.
He's in the first scene half an hour.
I keep outing myself.
But that makes sense because Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, did he?
He directed that.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a phenomenal film too.
I've heard. Yeah. Big thing. Very big thing. I'm a fan of the first one, like the original. Oh,
yeah. Blade Runner is it's like one of the original sci-fi films.
I know. It's phenomenal. Also a noir. Neo-noir.
It is. Yeah. So is this one too. Mm.
The second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. And that's it really. Like I've got more to talk about. I can, you know, give recommendations on our Instagram and stuff throughout the next couple of weeks for anything else that I might have watched that I recommend. But I think we should get into what, like, this is the point of this episode.
I think so.
Is It's an intro to 2024. So this is the first episode of the podcast for the season two. We're going to be talking about basically the stuff we're looking forward to for this year. Like, and we'll probably cover off in more detail when episodes come up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, we know we've kind of got a blueprint of what's coming. We've been told when films and TV shows are coming out, but it's the stuff that we're keen to see. Like, yeah, and we're just going to go through and just talk about, I guess, why we want to see them.
Yeah, so we're recording this one, it's like the 3rd of March, so we're talking about stuff that will be coming out. Probably by the time this is out,
at least it'll
be
month.
Out. Yeah, for March.
Yeah.
Our first one is...
Love Lies Bleeding.
Yep,
there Love we go. Lies Bleeding? Love Lies Bleeding.
There we go.
You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going. Yeah. Why don't you want me working for your dad? Well, he's a psycho.
Yeah. This one, I'd sort of heard bits about years ago, forgot about it, and then saw a trailer come up, and I was like, I want to see this, and I sent it to you.
Mm.
And I think you're maybe more excited than me. At least
I just think it looks
like you
keep
telling me how much you want to see it.
Awesome story. Like, I don't know if it's just the trailer magic that's made me interested, because that happens sometimes where the trailer might show the best parts, but it looks like one of those, like, you know, couples that end up like something happens to them and they're like, it's kind of like half like a renegade revenge story. You get like, and they're playing into it with, you know, obviously someone's dad's involved as well as a drug dealer.
Yeah, so it's starring Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, and it's directed by Rose Glass. And the synopsis is, a reclusive gym manager, Lou, played by Stewart, falls hard for an ambitious bodybuilder, Jackie. Their love ignites violence, pulling them deep into the web of Lou's criminal family.
Yeah.
And this one is just like a balls to the walls, like violent, graphic love story.
It's just gritty. And
so gritty. Very stylized. And
very stylized, which is what captured me, I think.
Seen very, very good reviews. That being said, most of the people that have been putting them online are definitely like queers. So maybe they just all love
They're
Kristen
playing,
Stewart.
Playing
but
it up?
Maybe, not sure, but it's only been getting good reviews from what I've seen, and it looks stellar.
I'm keen to check this out because, yes, like you said, it is very stylized. The music that they use in the trailer definitely captured me, because I was like, oh, this is a vibe. This is a certain vibe. It's like set in, like, I feel like it's like desert America, like Utah or something.
Yeah,
and
it's like the South.
Yeah.
It's got 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, that's pretty good.
56 reviews. So
yeah. It's early days, yeah. I think it's only coming. Yeah, it's coming out on the 14th of March, which yeah,
it's only had critics and like
so
obviously
far, audience
industry
score
scores. Yeah,
will be different. So very much keen to see that film when it comes out. Next thing, now this is where we'll probably talk a little bit more about the actors.
Yeah.
So obviously we went to the actors a couple of weeks ago,
which was a festival done by. Well, if you're not Australian, it's sort of our equivalent of Academy Awards, the Actor Awards. It's Australian's like most prestigious. And they've just started their first year doing a festival, which was really cool. So we went to that one and we got to sit in on like a panel with Leah Purcell, who's a formidable Australian talent. You would have all seen her in at least
Wentworth
something. Yeah, Rita Connor's in Wentworth, Drover's Wife, she's just done.
Yeah, I watched that as well.
I worked on one of her productions a couple of years ago, All My Friends Are Racist, which was a small web series on ABC. It's hilarious, you should go watch it. But yeah, she's just an insane,
she's an Australian powerhouse.
Yeah,
As an actress. Anyway, she had a panel at Actor Awards, at the festival part of it, and they were showcasing her new show called High Country.
Yeah.
12 months ago, a bloke breaks down, never seen again. 4 months ago, a woman hiking just vanishes into thin air. You know, in the city, we call that a pattern.
You don't know what's happening here.
And that's going to be coming to Binge on the 19th of March. She's the lead actress, and it looks again to be one of those Australian crime mystery thriller type miniseries that plays out over like 8 or 10 eps.
Yeah. And it's developed by the same guys that were writing on Wentworth. So it's good.
Like, it's quality tier stuff.
Team.
And the trailer they obviously showed then was not out yet at the time. And yeah, I remember when Lee was like, oh, I haven't seen this. And she runs into the back of the audience to sit and watch it as well. So it was really cool to kind of be a part of that and hear her experiences in making that particular TV show and obviously her experiences in Drover's Wife. It was great. It was great to hear. And it was she pointed behind the row behind us and I forget his name, but mm-hmm. even this actor was in it and we turned around and he's just like, yeah, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah, she's cool.
So yeah, I'm very excited to see that because obviously we've been watching a little bit of Australian crime mystery thriller.
I've been rewatching some, which I haven't mentioned today, but yeah.
So we obviously finished off and watched all of Boy Swallows Universe, mm-hmm. Which is based on the Trent Dalton book, which is on Netflix and it's doing absolutely gangbusters mm-hmm. on Netflix around the world. We also watched Scrublands, which is a book as well, both of us in the break. I haven't read that yet, but I kind of do, and that one was on Stan.
Yeah, but I've been rewatching Troppo, which...
Yes, you sent that to me. I'll mention it later.
There's a season two coming out sometime this year, but I don't know.
That's on ABC.
Don't know when, yeah.
Yeah, it's on ABC. So there's a lot of really, really good miniseries Australian gritty crime mysteries. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we do really well. So when I heard High Country was coming out and saw the trailer, I was like, yep, this is my ticket. I'm in. I will watch all this in pretty much one go kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. And... yeah, next thing in March is Roadhouse.
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys. Lately, it's been attracting the wrong clientele. I can pay you good money. Judging by your car, you need that.
Well, I like my car.
Think about it. Come on, bro.
The remake of the 1980s Patrick Swayze film.
Have you seen the original?
I haven't actually.
No, me either.
No. I know about it. It's very iconic. Like, you know, Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and Patrick Swayze. I mean, but I'm excited to see this. Jake Gyllenhaal obviously taking over the main. It looks like he's definitely done some work for this. He's ripped mm-hmm. as all hell in the trailer. This one actually has Conor McGregor in it. As one of the villains. Now, if you're not sure who he is, he's a UFC fighter.
Even I know that.
He's a huge name in the sport. He's definitely a controversial kind of mm-hmm. person. He can definitely
so is Gyllenhaal at the moment,
mouth
actually.
Off and getting fights and stuff on his own, Conor McGregor. But like, that's pretty huge to have him in it as well. It's directed by Doug Liman, who's done things like Edge of Tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, The Bourne Identity, Jumper. So a lot of like action based films as well.
Is this one exclusively going to Prime?
Yeah, it's a Prime streaming movie. So if you've got Amazon Prime, on the 21st of March, you'll be able to watch this film. So get on it, check it out. I will definitely be watching it when it pops in on the 21st.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about this one, but I'm not on the edge of my seat for it. But
oh, I mean, it's available for me to watch it day one. So I'm just going to check it out straight away. I'll be like, yep, cool.
Now, our next one in March that we're looking forward to, and Shannon's clapping quietly in the background, like a little child, it's actually cute, is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
For the first time in New York history, people froze to death in the middle of July.
What is it?
The death chill. The power to kill by fear itself. Your veins turn to rivers of ice. Your bones crack. And the last thing you see is your own tear ducts freezing up.
Like, literally scared to death?
So cool.
This one's starring, again, McKenna Grace, Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, Bill Murray, Finn Wolfhard, Dan Aykroyd. It's directed by Gil Kenan. I don't know if he did the...
yeah.
Previously?
He did Afterlife as well.
Yeah. So this is following on from Afterlife, and this time the team, they discover an ancient artifact that unleashes an evil force, creating a second Ice Age.
Mm.
I was talking to Shannon the other week. I'm not sure if I've seen the original Ghostbusters. I think I have, but I don't remember it.
Yeah,
it's
one
of those
ones. I was talking to you and you were like, I was like trying to explain them and you're like, is, I was like, the first one takes place at the end, like on top of the building.
Well, I've definitely seen that one.
And I was like, the second one takes place with like an evil painting and there's like goo everywhere. And you're like, I don't know if I've heard that one. I'm like, you definitely haven't seen the second one.
Like maybe I've seen part of, yeah. I don't know.
The second one's a lot darker
than
the first one. It was an odd movie at the time. It didn't do as well as the first one, obviously. But
I feel like I've seen it, but I just don't remember it.
Yeah, you might have. It's less rememberable than the first one.
But I watched Afterlife.
As I was saying, yeah. Like,
last year maybe. And I really enjoyed it as a fresh take on an old franchise that's sort of loosely. Because the kids are like grandkids of like one of the original.
One of them, the one that passed away. Yeah. The real actor who passed away. I'm sorry, I don't have names right now off the top of my head. Yeah. But yeah, Igor. Yeah, I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah. They're the grandkids, so they discover in Afterlife that he was a Ghostbuster. He kind of left the whole family when they were really young, or at least the daughter, who's now had kids herself. And she thought he just abandoned the family. But it turns out he moved to this rural location because this was going to be like the tipping point of the next kind of coming of a bunch of ghosts. So he was like setting up this place so that he could protect it. He dies, they inherit the house, they discover all that, and they realize that he was doing it to, you know, say, he was a hero in the end. So, and then obviously the three original Ghostbusters turn up and help save the day in the end of Afterlife. It's a really, really good take on the legacy sequel.
It's solid, yeah.
I think it's a really awesomely done film. It can be its own thing. It's got a connection to the originals, but it's not like heavily influenced by it too much. And then this one, Frozen Empire, takes place back in New York City. So where the originals take place is New York City in the firehouse. They've moved back now because ghostbusting has become a thing again.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's become like a business again. Yeah. They've made it into a business again because it kind of fell off with him moving away. And this takes place, yeah, back there. And it looks really exciting. I'm super excited for this film. And that's 29th of March. So about when this goes live, you'll be able to see Frozen Empire.
Yeah, my next one that I'm excited for is my next one that I'm really excited for is Heartbreak High Season 2. I watched the first one, this is a reboot of the original 90s series, like reimagining. But I watched the first season of this when it came out. It was solid. Does a really good job of capturing like the essence of the original series while making it Gen Z, but in a way that
it's not like
it's cringe. Written by people that aren't like close enough to Gen Z without
tell when someone else writes on that particular generation. It's so
not
obvious.
It's not cringy. It's just like, yeah, this is what school would look like with kids now, but they very much are still exactly the same as kids have always been. It's got an insane cast. They did so well going, hey, let's make a diverse cast feel accurate to what it is like to be a kid in Australia, because it's always been a diverse
thing that's sometimes feels pandering.
It's not phoned in, this one.
Yeah, they've it's got, like, let's get a diverse cast because we have to. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hitting a quota. And unfortunately, that's the same with some of the writing for that generation. But if it feels good, like, right, yeah.
They've got, like, yeah, there's so much representation in this. They chatted to people that they were, like, the actors that they're representing, so it doesn't feel phoned in. It's, organic. But, yeah, very excited to see this one. There's an incredible needle drop in the last episode, which I won't spoil for anyone who hasn't seen it. But if only you're watching it for the needle drop, watch it for the needle drop.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen this. Yeah, it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, like on Netflix.
Season 1's on Netflix.
And it's very watchable.
Yeah, I've heard, not just from you, from other sources that have seen it, that it is really good.
If you were a fan of the 90s one when it came out, maybe this isn't for you. In the sense that, like,
you'll probably be 30 to 40 years old. Yeah,
in the sense of, like, you know, when you love something so much and it's different, you're like, this is new and I don't like it. So if that's you guys, maybe this one's not for you. If you never watched the 90s one and you're close enough.
Well, I can't say I was
to this one.
I don't have ownership over the 90s one. No, but
I've watched bits of it.
Yeah, I've watched bits of it. So I could probably go into this and be like,
very much like the kids that would be at Hartley High now.
Yeah.
This is them. So
this is high school representation of what high school, typical high school is.
Yeah. So that's that one.
Okay.
And we have one more for April. Mm-hmm. Challenges.
Tashi Duncan. She's going to turn a whole family into millionaires. She'll have a fashion line, a foundation. You were incredible today.
Thank you.
I mean, it wasn't even like tennis. It was an entirely different gig.
We were discussing this before we started recording.
Like fools, really.
Absolutely. Well, we'll just have a passing comment.
We should just save it.
Look, I don't know how I feel about this. I've seen the trailer and I don't know what it's going to be like. I said it. This film looks like it's going to be like 50 Shades of Grey, but without the without seeing the sexual outcomes of that film. Like, it's basically just going to be all tension build up and no payoff.
Yeah. I've seen Call Me By Your Name. I think I mentioned it last year on the podcast. Yeah. Not my favorite film. I mean, very well done, but just not my thing.
Not your cup of tea.
I'm curious about this one. There's been a lot of talk about it. Obviously, it's starring Zendaya, who's, I mean, does anyone not like Zendaya? Probably not.
The thing I didn't mention about Dune 2, for me, I didn't give it 5 stars. I gave it 4.5. And I know, honestly, everything else is fantastic. And I personally don't think Zendaya was maybe the best choice for the role of the love interest in Dune 2. I think she's a great actress. I'm not saying that. I just think the chemistry between Timothée Chalamet's Paul and her, I didn't fully believe it when it got down to them, like, do we, don't we kind of continue this relationship? So, yeah, I just don't think she was, like, the perfect fit for that character of, you know, one of the people that have been living there forever. I mean, she's Zendaya. She's gorgeous. Like, it's like these people that have been ruggedly living off the land and you've got her like strutting around and it's like, okay, maybe a little bit unbelievable, but I think she's still a phenomenal actress. So we'll see how she goes in challenges, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it, but yeah.
You obviously mentioned Call Me By Your Name because it's directed by the same person, Luca. Also did Bones and All. I've seen Bones and All.
Not seen that one.
It's hard to explain. It's a very dry film in terms of, like, it's got no style, but that is its style. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to explain. It was very good. It's a relationship about two cannibals. He does some odd scripts, doesn't he? Yet again, that's got Timothée Chalamet as well as one of the cannibals, and they meet each other. They fall in love. But they still have to feed.
He loves this psychosexual stuff.
Yeah. And for anyone not sure about what Challengers is, which is obviously the next film he's directing with Zendaya, is a former tennis prodigy turns coach is married to a champion on a losing streak. Her strategy for her husband's redemption takes a turn when he must face off against his former best friend and Zendaya's former boyfriend. So it's a bit of a love triangle scenario in the tennis world, basically, and that's why it's called Challengers. Check out the trailer. It's very, like, sexually charged, like, love triangle movie.
That's pretty much it.
Yep. So not much else to it. The next one, though, I'm very excited for. So we're getting into your main kind of releases now, a little bit further down. It's The Fall Guy.
Okay, I'm not the hero of this story. I'm just a stunt guy, trying to look cool in front of the director of this movie. That's her, who I just so happen to have a major crush on.
We need to keep it super profesh.
Cool. Do you want to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
Making out?
Yeah.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Starring Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Winston Duke, and Aaron Taylor-Johnson. And it's got Hannah Waddingham too.
Ooh. Oh, Stephanie Hsu.
Yeah, it's got a huge cast. It was shot in Sydney.
I don't think I've seen the trailer of this.
Really? Oh,
I think I forgot to watch it.
That's okay. I mean, how many trailers have we tried to watch? So it's written by Drew Pearce, who wrote for Iron Man 3, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. It's directed by David Leitch. So Bullet Train, Deadpool 2, Atomic Blonde, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. It's action-packed. It's basically about a Hollywood stuntman who does all these huge, crazy films for this particular director. The director is Emily Blunt, right? And they're kind of like in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And the lead actor of the film that she's making, I think, gets kidnapped or goes missing. And the stunt guy for him, I think it's like either you have to be in the film or the film won't or go find him.
Yep.
So he's obviously doing it for Emily Blunt. And so he goes on this whole escapade to try and find this actual lead actor. And it's like a huge action film that he's actually playing out. So he's not doing stunts anymore. It's like this actual things are happening to him.
I like this premise.
It's a really good premise. And it looks really good because obviously it's a bit comedy, a bit action as well. Because Ryan Gosling can play up comedy really well. And so can Emily Blunt as well. So check out the trailer. It's like it's a fine line between that comedy action and a bit campy and a bit fun. And I'm so keen for it. Should be a lot of fun.
So also in May, we're looking forward to Furiosa.
Whatever you have to do. However long it takes. Promise me you'll find your way home. Furiosa. Give me this promise.
Which is the prequel almost to Mad Max Fury Road. So it's in that universe, starring Anna Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, Tom Burke, and Angus Sampson, directed by George Miller. I'm just excited for a cool Australian film again.
Yeah, I really obviously liked Fury Road. Obviously, it's
got international talent, but
yeah, George Miller again. So it's going to be in the same vein as Fury Road. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's about the prequel character Furiosa, who was played by Charlize Theron in Fury Road. And basically, it's a lead up of that film. So you're going to get the before story and start of the film.
I think before I watch this one, I might actually sit down and watch the original Mad Max trilogy because I've not seen those.
I love the first one. It's so good. I've explained to you why it's like how little budget the first one had and how it's like not really apocalyptic. And yeah, it's so good.
I'm just very excited to get to this one. I just think his stuff is insane. It's stylized, amazing. I don't need to tell you guys if you've seen any of his films.
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about, but
it's just very much in the same vein as the last one.
Feels like it's got promised to be solid and I don't have to worry about like, oh, is this one not going to live up? I think it's going to live up to the hype.
If you like the action, yeah. Getting into June now, so it is animation time for us. It's Inside Out 2.
It should be nothing but smooth sailing from...
Hello! I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
A new emotion!
Oh, I'm sorry. We wanted to make such a good first impression.
What do you mean, we?
I'm Envy!
Look at your hair. Oh, yeah, not happening.
That's on we.
On what?
It's what you would call the boredom.
What's your name, big fella?
That's embarrassment.
Welcome to headquarters, embarrassment.
I haven't actually seen Inside Out 1, but I'm going to definitely check it out before 2 comes out. This one looks like it's set in adolescence time, so there's like more like emotions coming into it. So from what I've heard about the first one, this one should be a banger.
Yeah, look, I watched it when it came out. I was still in high school. I think I went with my mum and my grandma because they were like, if we can drag your kids along, even though you're very much not kids, we'll drag you along so we have an excuse to sit in the cinema and watch animated stuff. I really enjoyed it at the time. I don't think I've seen it many times since. I think that's just simply because I've watched so many things. But it was solid.
Yeah.
And I'm just keen for another Pixar film.
It seems that Pixar are going back to the ones that made them a lot of money because lately the ones that Pixar have done have not really kind of stuck with an audience, like really kind of captured anyone in particular. Like if you look at Soul, Turning Red, unfortunately Elemental, but I've watched Elemental and it was phenomenal. It just those three like past couple of films just haven't really done as well as they'd hoped. So I think what they're looking at is like what's our IP that we have that we can just basically turn it into a sequel.
Yeah.
Using that IP, it'll make us money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see Inside Out 2.
That's that one. Next, we have A Quiet Place Day One. I don't know so much about this because I've only seen the first Quiet Place. I never saw the sequel.
Oh, you didn't see the sequel?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why. Just
did you like A Quiet Place, the
I
first
did.
One?
I really enjoyed it. I didn't see it in cinema. I wish I had.
I don't know if I wanted to.
It was everyone apparently because just couldn't even eat their popcorn.
You can't eat. You can't breathe. Because if you're not aware of this film, it's basically a silent film. So the monsters in this film, they react to sound. So a lot of the characters that are trying to survive use sign language. The family in particular that it revolves around one of the daughter is deaf to begin with. So they already all know how to do sign language anyway. So that's why they've kind of adapted to survive on this farm. Something happens, they have to go out and get a supply, blah, blah, blah. It leads into part two. Mm-hmm. And part two is much of the same, if not, it's just as exciting.
Yep.
Don't want to go into details, but this one is, I've seen the trailer. It looks like it's day one. It's when the first lot of the monsters, aliens kind of hit Earth. And it's the whole of society reacting to that kind of change in like, well, they react to sound like what? How do we survive? It doesn't have to take place around that particular family that's in part one, part two.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty action-packed. It should be pretty scary. It's written in by John Krasinski, who was in part one and wrote part one and part two. And also Michael Sarnowski, who is also directing it. And he did Pig, which, if you're not aware, it's a pretty prestigious movie starring
Nick Cage
recently. It did very well. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this. The first two are great, and if we're getting a prequel series, fantastic. I think we're actually getting a part three eventually too.
Oh, cool.
So this is a prequel, and you're going to get a sequel eventually.
I will definitely catch up by the time June rolls around. I say that.
I mean, we're up to March / this will come out in April. We're not far off June already. How is it already a quarter of the way through the year?
Don't talk to me about time. Yep.
We get older and older.
We get older and older, and by the time this comes out, I'll have no hair on my head. So.
Oh, that's true. We haven't even mentioned that yet.
Yeah.
Not
really much to say.
Well, no, it's something you did if the off period of the podcast. You kind of spoke to Tammy, who's the mutual friend that went to Actor Awards with us, and she's done it in the past. She's done World's Greatest Shave, and you went, why not? I'll get involved as well.
Yep. And now I'm shaving my head in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So
I will say, absolute props to you hitting your target though.
Oh, it's people are really generous. It's actually quite
concerning.
Well, yeah, given that no one has money right now, but it's heartwarming.
Yeah, you more than hit your target that you expected, which is really great to see. Not that we're pushing charities on the podcast, but it's something you're doing.
Yeah.
So we're mentioning it. And I can't wait to see you shave your head.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the fuzz touch a lot.
Depending on what happens, if I need a friend to help me out, I'm coming over.
Yeah, if you can't
get anyone to
shave your head, I will be doing it.
Well, basically, unless we're doing it as a group, you're coming over to my house.
True.
So,
Yeah.
And then I think we're...
You do realize I'm going to try and get photos in stages, right? Like,
I'm happy to record it, dude.
Oh, my God. That's definitely going to happen then.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, so good.
I mean, I'm going to look like an idiot anyway. It makes you laugh about it.
You've seen the photos where I've shaved my head before, right? Because I did it a few years ago.
I worked with you, but
I barely
remember it.
It was a while ago now. It was like probably like 6 years ago, if I think. Roughly, yeah.
No, it can't be that.
Yeah.
I haven't been at that store
really?
6 years, no.
Oh, we'll work it out. It's been a while.
A couple years.
It's been a couple of years.
Anyway.
Anyway, you are going to have no hair on your head.
Yep.
By the time this A Quiet out. Place Part 2 comes out, part Day one.
Dude, by the time this episode comes out, I
won't have hair. True. Yes, absolutely.
Scary. Well, not really scary.
But not really. We'll put a photo up because by that time, it'll be done.
Good God.
Moving on, we're getting into July now. So there's not really much. We're getting into the parts where it's like scattered like release dates because it's such in the second half of the year.
They haven't sort of announced a
lot. No, but the biggest one they have announced in July, and you would have all probably seen the trailer because it was during Super Bowl last month, and it's hit like a lot of targets in terms of trailer announcements, is Deadpool and Wolverine.
Wade, you are special. This is your chance
to be a hero among heroes.
I smell what you're stepping in, Sensei.
Your little cinematic universe is about to change forever.
I'm the Messiah. I am Marvel Jesus.
So we've got our Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman team up. In this time, it's finally in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is the first time Deadpool has been in it. Before that, obviously, it was owned by Fox.
That's right.
Which means they weren't in the MCU. And I think this will probably be the resurgence in the MCU.
I think
they need desperately at the moment, because the goodwill they had from Avengers Endgame has eroded drastically.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
We've spoken about that many a times in the past.
Everyone's heard
last, our take. Last season. So, but I'm really excited for this take on Deadpool and Wolverine. It should be very good. That's the really only big one in July. The next thing we've got is August 9th is Borderlands.
Yeah.
Legend has it that there's this massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you'd better take any help you can get. Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous dumpster fire of a world in the universe. God, I hate this planet.
I watched the trailer for this one.
What'd you think?
I'm very curious about it. Obviously, I'm not a gamer, so I don't have any, like, basis for this. The cast is cool. It's got Kate Blanchett, so
yeah,
I'll be there.
Huge cast.
I'm kind of confused about it, but in a, like, intriguing...
As in intriguing, who they are and what they do?
Yeah.
I can explain it beforehand because I've played the games.
There's a lot if you don't know what the hell this is when you see it. You're like, well, I'm not sure what's going on, but I feel like it'll at least be a fun time.
It's written by Eli Roth and directed by Eli Roth.
Yeah.
So if you're not aware of the stuff he's done beforehand, it's pretty, like, you're edging on horror, graphic kind of stuff. He did Thanksgiving recently. He was acted in Inglourious Basterds as well. He's done the Grindhouse films, or Dawn of the Dead, one of them. He's done a bunch of stuff like that. And to see him do a computer game, like a game, mm-hmm. and then obviously I know the game, it's not full graphic. So I don't know what line he's going to toe. Like, you shoot people and stuff, but it's not like a horror game or anything. Yeah, I'll see what line he kind of sits on. Toes the line with that, because obviously you got a huge cast. You got Kate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Ariana Greenblatt, like huge names.
Yeah, it's solid.
So you're going to want to attract the most amount of audience you want, right? So the more graphic you make it, the higher the
rating
is. Therefore, you're going to alienate your audience. So I think it's going to sit in Australia a strong M.
Yeah, me too.
A strong M, which means the gore will probably be toned down, or at least the violence, maybe some swear words, but not like full-on ones. Because it's that kind of like tongue-in-cheek game. It's a little bit meta, but it's very like kind of like angsty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very angsty style game. It's a lot of fun though. It's very you play with your friends, like co-op style game. The four of you play together, go through levels and stuff.
It looks enjoyable, but I'm a bit...
It's interesting. I'm surprised they made a movie about it.
Yeah.
The storylines in the games, they're not the main priority. It's playing with your friends is probably your main priority. And it's got a world, like you play on this planet Pandora, not really much else.
It's shoot people, collect loot, really. It feels like a not quite B grade, but sort of in between A and
I think they're trying to make it look B grade in an A grade.
Kids adventure. Yeah. Family friendly, but not quite family friendly thing. It's not anything like, you know, The Last of Us or anything in terms of like.
I think if it
not quality in a bad way. I'm thinking the wrong words, but
if it's anything like Dungeons and Dragons was, it'll nail it.
That's what I mean.
I think that's what it's trying to do: tongue in cheek but fun adventure story.
Yep.
It'll be fine. So that's August 9th. Not really much else. August, we're getting towards the end of the year where things will get announced as we go.
Now, this next one I put in here, I'm not necessarily excited for it. I'm more very hopeful it's going to
land,
and that is Beetlejuice, as the poster would say, or Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
The juice is loose.
Out September 5, my birthday. Remember that, guys? No, I'm kidding. Don't remember that at all.
They will now.
I know. It's starring Jenna Ortega, Willem Dafoe, Monica Bellucci, Catherine O'Hara, Michael Keaton, again as Beetlejuice, and Winona Ryder as Lydia Dietz, who's all grown up with a daughter played by Jenna Ortega, directed by Tim Burton. Look, I've seen some stills. I'm not quite sure about it. I'm more just, you know, you love the original. You hope this one's going to land.
I've seen the original like 5 or 6 times. I love the original. It is really fun. It's a good film. It's so quirky.
Yeah. I think as well, what I'm scared about with this one is the original was all practical. And even though it's aged in the sense now where you go, God, this is all practical, it has a charm.
I like practical effects.
It has a charm to it.
Yeah, and it's very Tim Burton to have practical effects. So I still think he'll do it justice.
I hope it lands.
Yeah. I'm worried because it is one of those really strong cult following films. And when you get a cult following film, there's so much ownership over it.
It was one that didn't need a sequel either.
No, like, it didn't.
It's cool if we get one, but it was satisfying as a standalone.
I'm also worried when they do one legacy sequel.
There'll be 10.
Exactly. Yeah. They try and make a franchise out of it. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
Is it just going to be one movie? That's it. We're one and done again. That could be okay.
Yep.
But if it's trying to create a universe in the Beetlejuice universe.
We don't need that. Also.
No.
It
takes away from the original.
Also, Beetlejuice as a character is very towing the line of what's.
Oh, yeah. Appropriate these days. Yeah.
So doing this in 2024.
Will the script land?
Will it land? I'm not sure.
We'll see. Or just, will he be less of the main character?
Yeah, I'm just. You know what I mean? I'm like, very curious, desperately want this to be satisfying. That being said, I will be seated for this one.
Oh, I'll definitely go see it. Very excited to see it, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
October 4, so one each month now we've got, is Joker Folie à Deux.
Oh, he's been learning French, everyone.
I have, thank you. That is day 48. starring Lady Gaga, Joaquin Phoenix, Zazie Beetz, Catherine Keener, and it is directed by Todd Phillips again. Did you see the first one yet? Even though we talked about The King of Comedy?
No, but I have seen The King of Comedy.
I know you've seen The King of Comedy, so like you said, you've seen The Joker.
No, but I've got to October 4, so.
You've got a while yet. Nearly 6 months-ish, 7 months.
Don't look at me for math. I'm looking at you for math. And
that's everyone's issue. Don't go to me for accounting. I did love the first one. I thought the first Joker movie was great, but it could have just been, yet again, what we just spoke about. It could have been just a standalone film. It's not set in a superhero fantasy universe. Mm-mm. It very much doesn't even have to really evolve around superheroes, this version of Joker, because it's not about that. So now they've obviously got Harley Quinn, Lady Gaga, and I've heard on the grapevine this one's going to be a musical.
I know.
So I'm curious to see how that plays out
this
on screen.
This made me excited more than the first one just because how, and also a lot of people are mad. And when the right audience are really mad about dumb stuff.
It usually does pretty well.
I'm here for it. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Todd Phillips obviously did a bang up job making the first one. So I imagine it's going to be his baby. He'll make sure the second one's just as good.
Yeah, I was talking to someone at work literally yesterday about how I need to see this one. So
after seeing King of Comedy, the parallels.
And that's what I mean. Go do your homework and watch old films because then you can make something like The Joker and bring it to new audiences. Anyway, off our high horse. next one, out on Christmas Day, which is an odd choice.
Nosferatu.
I've seen bits of the original because I'm...
Yeah, you would have. I haven't, but I know the story.
I was writing a vampire short film in uni, so I watched a lot. I haven't seen all of it, but now maybe I might. It's a big promise. I might watch it.
You got time. No, you don't. This one I'm mostly excited for because it's written and directed by Robert Eggers.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Lighthouse, The Witch, and The Northman.
I need to watch his other stuff. I haven't seen it. Only The Witch. The Witch, sorry.
Northman's really good, but it's that type of like... His fantasy worlds feel so lived in.
Yeah.
Like, they feel so real for him showcasing it on screen. Like, when I watched The Witch and The Northman, I was like, I could walk into that world and it's legit. Yeah. It's a real thing. So when he makes Nosferatu, which if you're not sure, is basically Dracula.
Yeah.
It's vampire story. The original vampire.
Yeah.
It should be really good. Starring Bill Skarsgård, who obviously played the clown in It.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Lily Rose Depp.
I've not seen her act in anything. I know she's done stuff.
Yeah.
It's not stuff I've watched.
I haven't actually either. What was that show she did on HBO recently? The Idol.
Yeah, that's it.
That was controversial, apparently. I haven't seen it, though. I can't say. I need to see it. Nicholas Hoult. He's been in a bunch of things, originated from the show Skins back in the day when he was really young.
And then he was in that vampire one with Nick Cage, Renfield.
Yes, that was fantastic.
He's speaking his vampire little era, good. Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's getting into
Watch out, Twilight.
Oh, he was also in, was it Bodies?
Could have been.
Where he plays the undead zombie character.
No.
Love something.
It was with him and Teresa Palmer like 100 years ago.
It was
ago.
A while ago. Nicholas Hoult was one of his bigger films back in the day.
Yeah. I can't think what it's called.
I can't either.
I'm going to Google what we talk.
Yeah. It's also got Aaron Taylor-Johnson in it that we mentioned who's in a film earlier. He also has Kraven coming out, which is in the Sony Cinematic Universe.
I've got it. It's called Warm Bodies.
That's the one. Yes. Yeah. Nicholas Hoult's in Warm Bodies. So he's definitely got this like creature features set of films you could check out for Nicholas Hoult.
Good for him.
Yeah, I think he's all right. Yeah. I think he's pretty good. I remember him in Skins.
Yeah, me
and he
too.
Was that just super awkward. Well, in the first season, he was like the preppy boy.
Uh-huh. What was his name? His character's name?
Oh, I can't remember. Yet again, it's been a long time since I've seen Skins. And then something happens at the end of season one and he becomes that awkward kid.
Yeah.
Remember how he has to relearn everything?
That's right. He gets in an accident.
He gets in an accident and he has to relearn his motor functions.
Oh, yeah. He played Tony and then Tony. His sister Effie who got big.
Effie got huge because the second generation, I think, was bigger than the first generation for Skins.
Although it got a bit more PG because the first season was very...
Oh, yeah. Well, it had Dev Patel in it as well.
Yeah.
Who's gone on to massive things.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Green Knight?
No.
It's a movie that he stars him. It's very much the stylization of something Robert Edgars would make. Very fantasy-esque. It's on Amazon Prime. You can just stream it. Thoroughly recommend some of the kind of like the colorization of the movie. Anyway, Dev Patel was in it. That's all it reminded me of. And obviously Robert Edgars is what we're talking about at the moment. Skins has kind of showcased a lot of people out of like they started there. It's like a home and away for Australia.
It was massive.
It was huge at the time.
I think I came to it a little bit late, but
it was 2010s,
still
like early 2010s.
In my era, yeah. I remember one of the kids I work with, I say kids because I think he's only just graduated high school in the last year or two, and he's like, did you ever watch Skins? And I'm like, yeah, of course I watched
Skins.
Everyone
watched Skins.
Yeah.
It was that era.
I had Tumblr,
like
everyone to be
coming
like
of
Effie
age.
Stoneham,
yeah, everyone wanted to be Effie.
Maybe great, but.
She was an interesting
a
character.
A mess, yeah.
It was one of those
like early 2010s, we're going to romanticize mental illness and eating
very
disorders
different
and
take
drug
on
taking
mental.
And
all taking place in Bristol.
It was so gritty.
It was very gritty.
That when you had shows like, you know, all your American like Gossip Girls and stuff at the same
where it's
time.
Very stylized.
Or like One Tree Hill or, you know, I mentioned that one for Shannon and me.
I'm rewatching it again.
Oh really?
It's on, it just got added to Stan. The whole thing.
I do not have time.
I have. I'll always have time for One Tree Hill.
I never finished it.
Chuck it on every episode every now and then. It's on Stan.
No, because what'll happen is like...
You've got my Stan.
But it'll be like me in grade 11 or 12 when I watched one episode for class and then...
And watch the whole thing.
Yeah, as much
That's
as
what happens
as
with
much
One
as
Tree
I
Hill.
Could. And then...
Because the soundtrack's banging.
I think the website that I was illegally, like not even streaming, like watching it on stopped working or... You know, it buffered so many times that my soul just broke.
Now you've got a legit way to watch One Tree Hill.
It doesn't feel the same. It
doesn't feel the same. I need to work out which episode I'm up to with the lyric names of the episode titles.
God.
It's so early 2000s. It was basically a spiritual successor to Dawson's Creek.
Uh-huh, yep.
It was
huge at the time as well.
Massive, massive.
Anyway, big tangents for us.
Oh, you always go on. That's what's going to happen now in this season. You're going to get a lot more of our personalities
less
coming
structure,
out.
More talent.
Less structure. More talent. And that brings us to the end of the episode.
Pretty much. It's pretty much all we got.
We have a few TBAs and you did speak about Troppo. So a couple of films don't have dates. And one in particular I do want to mention is Maxine.
Uh-huh.
So we've obviously watched X, Pearl. Pearl actually became hugely big after I think it came out on DVD. The prequel to X.
Yeah, went on TikTok. I'm a star.
Yeah, I'm a star. I mean, to be fair, her monologue in that film, phenomenal.
She's great in these. Yeah. I mean, probably other things, but I haven't seen a lot of her work.
She did that one. Is it Infinity Pool? I still need to see.
Yeah, and Suspiria with
I need to see Suspiria as well.
Dakota Johnson,
yeah.
Well, not sequel,
it's
the
a remake.
Reimagining of
Suspiria from the 60s.
70s?
Yeah, 70, 60. This is an old film, Suspiria. Yeah. Anyway, Maxine is a continuation of X, starring Mia Goth, Michelle Monaghan, Elizabeth Debicki, Lily Collins, Kevin Bacon, and it is written and directed again by Ty West, who made the first two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited that she's finally made it to LA, the character of Maxine, and yet again, bloody incidents follow her to LA as well.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it's going to be horror again, but there's a lot of bigger name stars in this one. Oh, there wasn't the first couple as well, yeah. But this one's got a huge I'm cast keen. List. No date yet. But
you'll see us in cinemas.
Oh, day one. Lily Collins.
Oh, yeah. How did I miss that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, since you've got yours, I'm going to have mine. My one that I've been waiting for a long time is His Three Daughters, written and directed by Aziel Jacobs. I probably butchered that. I'm very sorry. It's this indie film that did incredibly well in the festival circuits. Three sisters come together as their father's health declines. It's sort of a play-esque type film, you know, yeah. Like a one-room type.
Very much like The Whale, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Starring Carrie Coon, Elizabeth Olsen, and Natasha Lyonne. Enough said, you had yours, I got mine, yeah. In right before the end.
Gotta have one.
I mean, I'm surprised I didn't throw one in somewhere else, but I'm excited to see it for more than just Natasha Lyonne. I think it's going to be one of those like heartbreaking
I can see it being
films of just family drama, sisters one room. Nutting
things out together, yeah.
Dad's dying. Yeah. Yep.
We don't have a date yet because it's been so far awards season kind of.
Oh my God, if I had a date for it.
You would have written.
I would have 100% first film, but yep. No, they keep coming pushing it this back, year.
It's coming out.
When Netflix?
Is it Netflix?
It's Netflix, which I'm bummed about because right. I want to see a good indie in a cinema, but went to Netflix.
It's all right. We've got a few this year that I'm sure will pop up.
To Netflix, but that is our list so far.
That is.
Thanks for...
That's all the stuff we're excited for this year.
Tuning back in. We're yeah. excited to get back to it.
Season two, we're back in it, baby.
We made it past season one.
Oh, look at us. I'm surprised. Look, I'll be real. Anyway, I think we've spoken about it before. I'm surprised we got past like three episodes.
Honestly, I got real scared when you were like, I've bought very expensive equipment. And I was like, we don't have a title.
We didn't have anything at that point.
I know.
We should make a podcast.
And then you're like, I've spent money. And I was like,
oh. I feel like that was the only way to commit. Because otherwise we would have just still been sitting here going, yeah, that's a great idea.
It was.
And here we are. We've got a small backing. Some people are in Japan. Some people are in America.
It's pretty cool.
Belgium, I think.
That one?
Belgium?
Who never wrote us?
No.
If you're still listening,
if you're still an international listener, please write into our Instagram or any of our other kind of things that we'll list off in a second that you can contact us on.
Yeah, we want to – I know that we keep saying it and you guys keep ignoring us, bless you guys, but you're still listening. We want to have a back and forth with you guys.
Yeah.
So that we can make stuff that you actually want to listen to.
Or if you – like, look, any kind of feedback, if there's a certain platform that works better for you guys to talk to us on, let us know. We can build it. We will come.
Find Discord or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe Twitch. I don't know. Probably not Twitch.
You know how Twitch works?
I do know how Twitch works. I used to Twitch stream gaming.
That's wild because Twitch is not the best place for people to write in on this.
No, I know. That's why I said it. It's an ironic thing. No, I used to be a Twitch streamer.
Twitch streamer in a past life.
Yeah, I actually Twitch streamed Borderlands 3.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did that in Call of Duty. For a couple of months there, it was a bit of fun. Yeah, I don't anymore. I sold all the equipment. One, and that my desktop computer stopped working.
Well, that'll do it.
And I couldn't record to anything anymore. That was a different life.
That's before we were friends.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a while ago. Anyway.
I am going to wrap it up. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, welcome back. Thank you. If you're not following us already, give us a follow. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us. The best places are Twitter, Instagram, at Binge Lists, or you can email us at bingelistandboxofficehits@gmail.com. We've got a big year. We're very excited.
We've got plans for the entire year, guys. We've got a blueprint of episodes, like we said, and we've got plans for the entire thing.
And if you want to see something, write in. We'll change our plans. We want to do this for you guys as much as it is for us.
This is why we're doing it ahead of time. It makes us better planners and therefore better content.
Better podcasters.
Better podcasts. More sound bites in between that I can put in.
We'll see. We'll hold Shannon to that.
I will see what I can do.
He'll cut it out.
We'll cut that. As always, guys, thank you so much. And thank you for sticking with us for the start of our second year. This is going to be a good year, I imagine. And we'll see you all again soon. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye.